Good morning, El Paso and Las Cruces. This morning, we're going to take a careful look at the way of Lot and the way of Ruth, the way of the godly path and the way of the ungodly path. Now, the amazing thing about this story is that both of these individuals were believers. Both Lot was a believer and Ruth were believers. And you can see that play out in the scriptures. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 2, we see Lot described as a righteous man, somebody that God considered righteous, even though he made some very bad choices. So one person will go with the way of the godly, and one is going to go the way of the ungodly, both believers. So we're going to learn lessons this morning about the choices that believers make and the long-term consequences of making good choices and bad choices, and how God can still bring it all together to accomplish his will. It's truly remarkable. I've really been blessed by this study of Lot and Ruth. You may say, wow, I've never really thought about comparing Lot and Ruth, but you're going to find some very incredible connections between these two. Now, when we think of Psalm chapter 1, we're reminded that the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. That the path of the righteous is blessed, but the path of the ungodly will be judged and is going to be cursed. And perhaps we can look at Lot as a prodigal, somebody who wandered away from the path of the righteous. He was with Abraham, a man of faith. We know Abraham was a righteous man, a man who followed and obeyed God. Wasn't perfect, but his life was targeted to following the way of the Lord. Lot was Abraham's nephew, and Lot wandered away from the path of Abraham, and he wound up in the worldly city of Sodom, which was ultimately destroyed. And Lot was saved, but he lost his family in the process and became the father of some really sick and idolatrous nations, which we'll take a closer look at. I remember one time I was in Louisville, Kentucky, and we were doing some ministry there, some ministry work, and I was driving down the street with a couple of people who were taking me to a Bible study. I was going to do some Bible study follow-up, and I saw a young man walking down the road in the opposite direction by himself, just walking, and I felt the Lord tell me to stop the car and go talk to him. Total stranger. I didn't know who he was. I'm not comfortable with these kind of things, but I was trying to follow the way of the Lord, and I felt like he told me to go talk to him. So I jumped out of the car, I ran over, and I walked up to the man, and I said, hi, and I introduced myself, and he looked at me kind of funny, and I said, you know, I think God wanted me to talk to you. And he said, really? I said, yeah. I said, do you know any of the Ten Commandments? This is the first thing I said to him. And he said, well, yeah. I said, how about thou shalt not commit adultery? And he looked at me, and his face kind of turned white, and he looked at me astonished. And he said, why did you ask me that? I said, I felt like God wanted me to ask you that. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, look back at that house over there. I said, yeah, I see it. He said, that's my wife and my daughter's house. He said, you see that house up there? I said, yeah. He said, that's my girlfriend's house. That's where I'm going right now. So he's on his way to commit adultery, and here I am, a guy from Colorado at the time. I had traveled all the way to Louisville just for a week to do some ministry. I see him walking. I feel compelled to pull over and go talk to him and warn him about the way of committing adultery. Well, I spent the next 20 minutes talking to him, trying to talk him out of this mistake he was going to make, this disaster, this way of the wicked path that he was on. And he knew that I was sent by God. He said, I have no doubt that you were sent here by God, because how could you have known what to say to me, when to say it to me? And so I urged him to turn around and go back to his wife and his daughter and to forsake the way of adultery. Now, I left him standing there pondering that, and I don't know which way he chose. I feared for him because I could tell the pull of lust and adultery was so strong in him that I wasn't sure he was going to make it. But in the end, we all wind up with this choice. Now, we remember Joseph being tempted by his master's wife, ran away from adultery, and God blessed him richly. So for the man that can overcome these adulterous pulls to the world will be greatly blessed by God in the end. Joseph became second in the whole kingdom under Pharaoh and saved his whole family, whereas Lot, tempted by the temptations of the city, wound up, his family wound up largely condemned. And he was the only one that was a believer out of all of them, apparently. So our choices as believers have long-term consequences. And that's what this story is about today. Let's go ahead and read from Genesis chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, "Then Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord." So here Abram, again we see Abram going to where God had called him. God had told him he's going to inherit the land, and he's just following the Lord, and where he would go, he would build an altar and call on the name of the Lord. Now Lot comes in. Lot also, who went with Abraham, with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. So I want you to see that because Lot was with Abram, Lot was following Abram, his uncle, Abram, a man of faith, Lot is basically saying, I'm going to follow you. Your God will be my God, right? Like Ruth did to Naomi. So Lot follows Abram, and he's greatly blessed. His possessions were so great they couldn't dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. Verse 8 says, "So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I'll go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." So Lot here is given a choice by Abram to part ways and to go where he seems is right in his own eyes. So in Genesis 13, verse 10, we see it. "And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah." So here we see that Lot lifted up his eyes. Lot looked and did what was right in his own eyes. He went to the way that he thought would be best for him. And we do not see Lot seeking the Lord. We didn't see Lot calling on the name of the Lord. We don't see Lot building an altar to the Lord. We don't see Lot looking to the Lord for direction or acknowledging the Lord at all here. He just went the way that was right in his own eyes. So this is very important. Hold on to this point. Then Lot chose for himself. You see it? Did God choose this for Lot? No, it says, verse 11, "Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east." Now, some people think that the Bible doesn't talk about personal choices and free will, but it does. It talks about this all over the place, and here's one example. Lot made a choice. Abraham gave Lot a choice, and Lot did what was right in his own eyes, and they separated from each other. So here's where things really start going downhill for Lot, when he separates from the way of Abraham. He didn't need to do this. He could have called on God and prayed. I asked my son, I said, what should Lot have done? He said he should have prayed to God and asked God where he should go. And I think that's true. And we're going to see what Ruth does when Naomi gives her the same choice. Now, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, the cities, city dweller, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. And Sodom was a horrible, sinful city. In verse 13 it says, "But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord, but Lot was dwelling with them." Lot did what was right in his own eyes. He began to raise his family in a wicked place with wicked people around him that was not the will of God. Now we see people all the time. I see people all the time try to do this. I look at them and go, man, I don't think God's in this choice for them, but they have to make the choice themselves. Now, often today, Christians will say, well, I prayed to the Lord, and I believe the Lord's leading me in this direction. Even people who leave their wife and family say, I think God's leading me here, and God wants me to be happy. Now, I don't think these are real believers who leave their wife and kids or their husband for someone else. I think these are people that are leaving the way of faith or never dwelt there to begin with. Terrible choices, but then they try to say God led them there. It may not be surprising if we found out, at least at this time, that Lot thought he was following the way of God, but he wasn't. He was following his own ways and doing what was right in his own eyes. And the Lord said to Abram in verse 14, it says, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give you and your descendants forever, and I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and width, for I give it to you. God wanted Abraham to walk through the blessing he was about to give him. So then Abram moved his tent. God spoke, Abram moved and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. So Abram built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the Lord. Abram was following God's ways. Lot was following his own ways. Now let's move over now to the book of Ruth, and let's look at a man named Elimelech. And his family is going to go to Moab. Now, Moab is a very interesting connection to Lot. Moab is going to be the nation that comes from Lot through an incestuous relationship that he has with his daughter. We'll talk about that a little more later, but there's a connection here that's remarkable. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, it says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab. Now, again, Moab is like Sodom. It's an idolatrous country. And here Elimelech is leaving the God's country of Abraham, the country of Abraham, and he's going to Moab, which was of the offspring of Lot through an evil relationship he had with his daughters, drunken circumstance. Now, Elimelech takes his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Malon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem of Judah. So these are people of Abraham's country leaving Abraham's country and going somewhere else, and they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. So he thinks he's going here to prosper, but he dies. When he leaves the land of Abraham, goes to the land of Lot, the way of Lot, right? The land of Lot's descendants of Moab, and he died. And she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. So they took wives of the idolatrous country of Moab. And the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Malon and Chilion also died. So the women survived. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. That's Naomi survived her two sons and her husband died. And they died in this idolatrous land. In verse 6 it says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went from out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, And they lifted up their voices and wept, and they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But, okay, so Naomi's giving them a choice. They're receiving a choice now whether to follow Naomi or go back. And Naomi's saying, go ahead and go back. It's like Abraham telling Lot, let's part ways. Naomi's telling them, let's part ways. This is where the choice comes in. Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? So Naomi says in Ruth 1, verse 12, turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clung to her. There you go. Ruth clung to Naomi. Now, Ruth is a woman, a Gentile woman of the Moabites. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. So her sister-in-law forsakes the way of Naomi, and now Naomi is going to go back to the way of Abraham, to the path of blessing. But her sister, Ruth's sister-in-law had gone back to her people and to her gods. Just like Lot left the way of Abraham, she went back, and we never heard from her again. But Ruth said, verse 16, entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. And when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking with her. Now, when I read this, I was thinking, what if Lot would have done that to Abraham? What if Lot would have said, no, entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. I've been blessed following you. Wherever you go, I will go, Abram. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge, Abram. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Can you imagine the difference in Lot's life? But Lot went the way of Elimelech. Lot went the way of Ruth's sister-in-law. He did what was right in his own eyes, and he didn't seek the Lord. So let's stop for a moment and look at the similarities between Lot and Ruth. Now, both are believers. Both, you can see Ruth's testimony of faith. I'm going to follow Naomi and pick the one true God to be my God. Now, Lot believed in the Lord. We see that in 2 Peter. He was called righteous, and he called out against the nations, but Lot made against the evil nations, but Lot made terrible choices. Abraham gave Lot a choice, and Naomi gave Ruth a choice. Again, Ruth's father, Elimelech, and Lot made similar choices. Both left the godly to dwell with the ungodly. Both Elimelech, Ruth's father, and Lot lived in idolatrous and condemned cities. Both lost their sons and family in the process. And ironically, Naomi left and never looked back and was blessed, but Lot's wife left Sodom and looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. Isn't that interesting? Both Lot and Ruth were given instructions and a clear choice from other believers to part ways from the path of faith. So that's interesting. God uses Abraham and God uses Naomi to present them with a choice. But both made a polar opposite choice. One did what was right in their own eyes, and one clung to the way of faith. These stories are incredibly interconnected. These are examples to us of two believers who chose polar opposite paths in life. Lot's descendants came from an incestuous, drunken encounter with his own daughters. So after Lot comes out of Sodom, God rains down judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's really stuck in that city. Lot loses his sons-in-law. Okay, they die. Naomi lost her sons in the land of Moab. They died, or her husband. So the Moabites and the Ammonites come out of this incestuous relationship with Lot and his daughters. They get him drunk, and they slept with him after he came out of Sodom and Sodom was destroyed. You can see the sexual immorality that had been so pervasive in that city had sunk into his children's character, and they made this choice. So both resulted in cursed and idolatrous nations. This is the history of the Moabites. The Moabites being one of Lot's sons slash grandsons, right, of his daughter, one of his daughters. They worship the god Chemosh, who may be depicted in other extra-biblical history and is showed not just in the Bible, but it's also talked about in other archaeological discoveries. This was a very real god. These were very real nations. No one disputes that. The Moabites came and they were enemies of Israel. And the Ammonites, Ammon was the other son. And his primary deity was the god of Milcom. And Milcom has been depicted through archaeological excavations and extra-biblical sources as well. So there's no controversy. Ammon and Moab were real people. They were real nations. And they were enemies. They became enemies of Israel. They became enemies of God. And the worship of the god of the Moabites was called the abomination of Moab in 1 Kings 11:7. And there's the possibility that Chemosh or Malek or Moloch were the same deity. The children of Israel sacrificed their own children to the god of Moloch, and God brought great judgment on Israel for this. You can see that in the book of Jeremiah. They committed idolatry with them, and this was one of the gods Solomon brought in when he got led astray. And you can read about that in other chapters. But this became a snare to Israel, a terrible disaster from the choice that Lot made to go to forsake the way of faith. We also see all kinds of terrible things that came from the false god Milcom, from Lot's descendants of his son Ammon. And this was just a terrible thing. They became terrible opponents of Israel. And this was, you know, in Moab, and his son Moab hired Balaam to curse Israel. So the Moabites were opposing Israel as they tried to enter the promised land. And they were just, this whole situation of Lot leaving the way of Abraham wound up in enemies, the enemies of Israel. But Abram was also guilty of this. When he committed really adultery with his Sarai's maidservant and had Ishmael from that, and they also became the enemies of Israel, which they are to this day, the Ishmaelites. And so remarkable the way the long-term consequences of believers who leave the path of faith for a moment of pleasure. But it's also amazing to see how God brings this all back together. So remember, Moab, so Lot has relations with his daughter, Moab, who becomes the nation of Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite. Ruth's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather would have been Moab. And Ruth was a descendant of the Moabites, of Lot's bad decision. But Ruth, being a Gentile in a faraway land, clings to the way of faith and follows Naomi out. And Ruth becomes blessed with Boaz. She winds up meeting Boaz. As you read the book, God blesses Ruth for clinging in her faith. And look what happens to the descendants of Ruth. David is born. And then ultimately from King David comes the Messiah. So Ruth, a descendant of Lot's terrible decision, turns back to the way of faith, and God uses it to her to be in the lineage of Jesus himself. Can you believe that? Now, if you're listening today and you've departed from the way of faith, I would urge you to be like Ruth and turn back. Call on the name of the Lord. Be like Abram. Follow the way of God. Follow the way of the Lord and make your path the way of God's path. Turn back to the Word of God. Follow Him, and He can turn your heartache into something beautiful in the end. We see that it can turn out okay if you cling to God. He gives us all a choice, and even if we've made bad choices, even if we've wound up in a cursed land, God can turn it all around if we follow His way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." So you may be saying, "I've been dead in my life. I've been just sterile in my ways. I haven't produced any fruit." And God would be saying, "Turn back to the way of Ruth. Turn back to the way of Jesus. Turn back to my ways. I'm waiting for you with open arms." May God bless you as you consider this, and I urge you to turn back to the ways of God and the ways of faith.